most people today think the world has lost its mind. People can't identify what gender they are, can't define what a woman is, and on top of all of it, we seem to hit a plateau of attitude that says, who cares? Well, we care, and have found a way to bring hope and definition back into this crazy world of ours. The Bible has always been an anchor for people who are adrift. And here on The Truth Barista, we are brewing up hope and making sense out of our disturbing times. The Truth Barista was designed for the everyday routine, encouraging your day with a cup of God's truth.
What would you say, Greg, to people who say, if God is really a God of love, he would not let this happen? Why does he allow evil things to happen? If he's God, he could stop this.
We spend a lot of time asking the why question. And you go to a point where there's just no answer to that satisfies you. So it comes down to this. We don't live on explanations. We live on promises. We go back to the promises of God. So here's what I don't understand. Why did this happen? I don't know. Here's what I do understand. God loves us. Yep. I know God loved Charlie. I know that as Joseph said to his brothers who sold him into slavery, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good to save many people alive. So what happened to Charlie is a horrible tragedy. We should mourn his death, but at the same time, we should be inspired by his life.
Yep.
And we should carry on what he did. So I think, you know, as the Bible says, work while it is the day, for the night is coming when no man can work. And so just follow his example, and we can't always answer that why question, but we turn to God, and what do? We give people the gospel and call them to Christ, because death will come for all of us, and we don't know when. Charlie had his hope in Christ, and so the moment he took his last breath on earth, he took his first breath in heaven, and if we trust in Christ, we can have that same hope.
Today, nothing seems normal. Everything is changing, and most changes can be questioned as to how healthy they are for society. God tells us in his word that the struggles in this world will continue until Jesus Christ returns. Every week on The Truth Barista, we evaluate how faith and the promises of God give us hope in light of our changing world.
Are you a Christian, by any chance?
Very much so.
Like, why is that exactly?
Oh, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner. Gave my life to Christ. Most important decision I ever made.
So you believe the Bible is real?
Yes, like, I believe the Bible is true and real.
Yeah. Why is that?
So there's never been an archaeological discovery that has contradicted the truth of the Bible. And then, of course, the wisdom. There is not a truth of the Bible that if you apply to your life does not improve dramatically. And then finally, we have the most accurate and transparent, historically robust account that one can have of the most important figure ever to live in the history of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection is the pinpoint of my belief that Jesus did rise from the grave so that we may live.
And then verse 24, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds.
Dr. J, a very sad day last week. It happened unexpectedly. A man by the name of Charlie Kirk was assassinated in Utah, and everybody knows that by now. It's been all through the news. I just want to say before we begin, I've had three heroes of faith who died unexpectedly and really kind of tragically, and I never been able to really understand it from the perspective that why did they die like that? Here they are, Rich Mullins, car crash, David Wilkerson, car crash, Keith Green, airplane crash. And of course, now I can add Charlie to the assassination by a bullet. Help me out here. I mean, these guys have been people that I've admired. People have admired them around the world. Why such tragedy in their deaths?
Well, it tugs at the national psyche because of their influence throughout Christianity and the people who follow the Lord and people who don't follow the Lord. Many of these men and women of faith who have that level of influence go beyond just the church, the community of believers, and it goes into society, especially if they were like Keith Green or David Wilkerson, who were such profound prophets speaking into the people of faith and the people who reject the faith. So I think that's one of the main reasons, but I think the deepest reason is this. What happens to a fellow believer resonates through the body of Christ often because we're all bound together by the Holy Spirit. Now, we may disagree on doctrinal points, fine points of doctrine, but when you really get down to it, if we are indeed truly born again, though we differ, we all share the one Holy Spirit. And it's like Paul says, one part of the body gets affected, the whole body is affected. You see the impact on Charlie Kirk. It is resonating around the world. We're seeing not just tributes and memorials here in the United States. We're seeing tributes and memorials in South Korea, in Europe, in the most unbelievable places, because he had such a profound reach and the Holy Spirit is ringing. It's a lot like an earthquake. I like to study geophysics every once in a while. I follow a guy on the internet who talks about this earthquake happened here and these sensors picked it up over here. And in a graphic representation, you can see an earthquake hit and you can see the waves of resonance and vibration spread around the globe. In fact, the one earthquake that hit Tibet, the guy said it literally rang the earth like it was a bell. And that's what I see with Charlie Kirk's death. Charlie Kirk's death has rung the bell of both the spiritual and the political world. And when that day hit, and I heard that he had been shot, of course, my son and I are texting back and forth, you know, did you hear this happened? He's dead. No, I think he's alive. And it was back and forth. When it was finally announced that he had died, a scripture verse came to my mind. And I had to write about it. And I want to talk about it with you because it was more than just the one verse. It was the verses around it. The central verse was John 12, verse 24. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Now, this is a simple agricultural principle. I've been a gardener. I have lots of things that I like to plant around the house, and it's amazing. One seed can produce so many other seeds, and out of those seeds come plants. Why? Because the remarkable thing about a single grain of wheat is the tremendous potential within it. So, one grain under the proper conditions can create a multitude of grains, which can create even more grains, leading to a chain reaction, a multiplication of fruitfulness, which can fill an entire field given the time. And under exceptional circumstances, exceptional conditions, the right weather, the right rain, the right dirt conditions, it happens faster and more richly. So, when Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, was assassinated on September 10th, the above verse flooded my mind, and I felt a deeply prophetic weight to it. Charlie was the spark that helped ignite a movement that was far more than a political wave. At its core, Turning Point USA's impact was spiritual. Rather than politics influencing spiritual convictions, Charlie brought the spiritual realm to bear on the politics of our entire nations. And we're amazed when we see floods of college students rallying together to remember him. Applications on college campuses for chapters of Turning Point USA are up to 38,000 applications. This is mind-boggling what's going on. So, as I see it, a shooter tried to put an end to what I feel was the Lord's work within our nation, turning us back to him. For years, the left has been turning us away from God. And now God, through a variety of circumstances, hasn't done it in one fell swoop, but he's actually, over a period of, I think, 12 years now, been working to turn us back to him. And by the way, killing the king's messenger never works, because the king just sends more, and they all carry the same fiery message. Look at the string of prophets that spoke to Israel over hundreds of years. They all carry the same unified message against sin and for God. And every time they killed a prophet, God raised up another one.
Amen.
Charlie Kirk is that prophetic voice, I believe, and example to our nation. And I really think with his death, you're going to see many more rise up around the nation.
Well, I think, Dr. J, that's very good insight and discernment. I know that that verse you're using out of John 12, the reference around it, the context for which it was spoken by Jesus, was just before his death on the cross. And he was referring to himself, but it's a principle as you're using it, that any time that seed dies and goes into the ground, there's multiplication that takes place. That's so very true. And martyrdom, which is what happened to Charlie, is going to have its day. I mean, we're sad for his wife and his children and all of that, but at the same time, I don't know God's will on something like that, but you have to accept it and trust that he's in charge.
Isn't that interesting that Jesus said this knowing his death was coming, and yet this verse is just as applicable to a man who did not know his death was coming.
Correct.
And yet he spoke of it in advance, knowing the culture of the day, a culture that tries to silence the voice of God as opposed to embrace it. And by the way, I need to point this out. I just read today in the news, 100-ish Christians were slaughtered in the Congo just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The Muslim tribesmen came in and they said they just hacked them to death. And I'm thinking, yeah, Charlie gets the tributes and the memorials, but he is actually embracing those who died yesterday as they show up on heaven's doorstep with King Jesus welcoming them, saying to every one of them, including Charlie, well done, good and faithful servant. So let's not lose perspective or to just idolize one man on this. It's very, very important. But remember, it's about Jesus and his kingdom, and no matter how many of his soldiers fall in battle, whether they're men or women or children, the king has more recruits on the way, and this battle has already been won. It is just the matter of walking out to the end. More soldiers will fall. In fact, the scriptures have promised. God has prepared us. Jesus warned us. Persecution will come, especially as we move toward the end. We are going to face persecution. People will be martyred, in other words, killed for being a witness to Jesus and God's kingdom and his word, I believe, in years to come. When that will be, I don't know. Charlie didn't know, but he was going for it along the whole way. He was preaching the gospel. He was speaking to the culture, and the culture tried to shut him up. And again, killing the king's messenger never works. But I went into the scriptures here, and I looked around that verse because I believe in context. That's verse 24 of John 12. I wanted to see what other verses had to say regarding this. And in John 12, 23, Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, it's interesting. Son of Man is a title that Jesus reserves for himself. That's a very specific title. It comes from Daniel 7, where there is this Son of Man, in other words, a human-looking person, in heaven with the Ancient of Days, the Father. The Father gives him the kingdom, and the first thing this Son of Man, capital S and M, he comes back to execute his Father's justice this as a judge against the wicked in preparation to setting up a kingdom, God's kingdom on earth. Now, if you use Son of Man with a small s and a small m, that refers to human being. We're just of the race of Adam. So here we go. It's like the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And I was going, oh my goodness, that's speaking of, in my mind, Charlie Kirk. It was time. On that day, at that hour, for that Son of Man to be glorified, and in his death, glorifying Jesus, his glory shone through Charlie. He gave his life in service to the King. There is no greater glory for us disciples than surrendering the gift of life we've been given by the King and giving it back to him. But we need to understand this too. Charlie had already surrendered his life to the King. On Wednesday, September 10th, Charlie glorified his King in death as he had already done in his calm, kind, and resolute life. Now, reading on in John 25, "The one who loves his life will lose it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." To hate one's life doesn't mean, I hate my life. I wish I were dead. It's not that. Life is a gift from our King, and we need to steward it with everything we have as long as he allows us to be on this earth. To hate one's life is a Hebrew idiom that means we have to prioritize living for Jesus over living for ourselves. And Charlie did this in life, and now he enjoys that promised eternal life now. And we jump forward to John 12, verse 26. "If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." And this gets back to what you and I were talking about earlier. Those huge reactions still going on around the world, honoring Charlie Kirk. And by the way, this is sparking large spiritual gatherings around the world. And in the process, people are speaking into the politics and they're recognizing we've got politics that are going on right now that are satanically based. They are politics born out of the hearts of fallen men who despise God and anything that he says or any sort of standard of righteousness he sets before us. So these people are doing the Charlie Kirk thing. They're letting their spirituality now move and push and shape the politics. And it's something the politicians can't stop because they can't change the heart. The Holy Spirit changes the heart, but the politicians try to stop the heart. And that's why we see persecution around the world. There may very well be a backlash coming, that these politicians and national leaders around the globe are going to be so threatened by what God is doing through the people who are following Jesus and Charlie Kirk's example, that there's going to be persecution breaking out because they just don't have any other means to shut it down. Well, what do you think?
Well, I think you're right. I think that's what the scripture teaches, that the days that are coming are going to be very difficult. Jesus in chapter 24 of Matthew said that unless God steps in and stops it or comes back or whatever that verse means there in that chapter, the entire human race could be at stake, especially the believers, the church, because we're the threat, right? We are the threat. Now, I have to say, when Charlie was assassinated, I was so angry. And I was angry at the wrong thing. And I was, you know, immediately jumped to the left and all of that. Because they've always been against what Charlie stood for and what we stand for. But, you know, my anger should be against the fact that sin is still reigning in people's lives and they're not surrendering it to the Lord. And that's where the anger comes from, because all of these, this murder, the theft, the hatred, it comes from the heart, as you're saying. And so if the heart is not changed, nothing will change. And it drives me nuts, Dr. J. Immediately we have the politicians, let's get more gun legislation. And you know, none of that works, because bad guys, evil, doesn't obey laws, because it's a heart issue.
Yeah, well, yeah, the same thing I had written on Facebook the other day. I was reflecting on all this, and it's like, you know, a hate-filled person will use anything for a weapon, but without being a hate-filled person, a gun is absolutely safe. So really, I mean, they're just grasping at straws because they have no real solutions. But really, there is a, and I'm going to say this, there is an ulterior motive, because once you remove the ability for somebody to defend themselves, it makes them an easier target to persecute. And once again, if you don't like the messenger, you go, or the message, oftentimes this world goes after the messenger. Mm-hmm. Well, if the messenger has got a means of defense, well, then it's not going to be so easy. But if the messenger is defenseless, it's easier to shut out the message. As we saw with Charlie Kirk, the security failed around him and he was easily taken out. But we do see other examples of Christians and notable figures, such as President Trump, who do have security around them. And though there is an attempt, many of those attempts are stalled out or stopped. So really, like you said, the real solution to the problem is a change of heart. It is a disarming of the heart as opposed to the disarming of the hand. Do you see what I'm saying there?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Okay, so evil tried to silence truth on September 10th, but neither silence or whatever will stop the truth. And this brings us back to John 12:24. Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. From my point of view, a grain of wheat has fallen into the ground and died. Therefore, it will produce much fruit. And I don't know how or what will happen in the days, weeks, months to come. That's in the Lord's hands. But I feel this will fuel the fires of revival already breaking out on college and university campuses. In fact, this may be the thing that takes it from the college campuses across institutions in the United States and around the world. Now, think of this. Amid the violence and rebellion of the 60s that started on campuses, the Holy Spirit swept through our country, countering hopelessness and death with hope and life through Jesus. I think we're going to see something much more potent rise up in the near future here. We have to be prepared for a heavy harvest, a massive response of commitment and dedication to Jesus, because I believe we are in those exceptional conditions. We must be ready to receive and mentor the new heads of grain. We also must be prepared to fall to the ground and die ourselves, even if that's literally, if our King allows it. We must lose our lives to gain eternal life by living right now for Jesus. Again, truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Now, I was listening to Liz Wheeler on the Glenn Beck program the other day, and this was the day after Charlie was assassinated, and she said this: 2 million Charlie Kirks will be minted because of this. And I think that was right on the mark.
No, I think you're right, Dr. J. You know, as I said earlier, I was angry at first, but then my heart changed, and I will use a word that will encompass how I am today, which it verifies what you're saying, that there's going to be some kind of revival. Well, it started in me. Here's the word: intensity. So the intensity that I need for prayer, to be a witness for Christ, to do a better job, an intense job of studying the Word, and an intense job of participation. You know, getting involved with people and getting involved with the message going out. That's what Charlie did. And he did it in such a way that people, yeah, he was not liked for what he had to say by the extreme left. But even other people that came in contact with him that weren't believers said, you know, Charlie, you got a point. And he had great influence.
Yep, I like what you said. Intensity. And I'm thinking, yeah, intense intentionality. We're going to see that come out. So, I mean, Charlie set the pace. It's time for the runners to take the baton.
Yes.
It's our leg of the race to run at this time.
That's right. Dr. J, you've been doing it for a long time. You've got a website. You've got a myriad of teachings and opportunities for people to grow and begin to do that intensity in study and prepare themselves, because that's the big word, prepare. Because we don't know in this uncertain world that we live in what's going to come next. So we have to be prepared. Tell us where they can go. Our listeners can go to a website where you're all over it.
Go to highbeamministry.com. That's like in the car, high beams, highbeamministry.com, because we're shining the light of God's truth on the road ahead. At highbeamministry.com, you're going to find blogs and podcasts that will encourage you, hopefully bring some new insights to you. That'll be great. If you're a new believer, or if you're a believer who has never read through the Bible, I've created a Bible study schedule and commentary, short commentaries, in book form on a monthly basis to take you through the entire Bible to help you understand it. No, I'm not putting this out here to sell a bunch of books and become a millionaire. My intent on putting it out there was so that you would become rich in God's Word and that you can be able to handle it beautifully, because you're going to need it in the days to come, oh young Christian and inexperienced Christian. So go to highbeamministry.com, look under the book tab, go to the page. Amazon has them on Kindle, which is very affordable at this time, and read, study, absorb God's Word, and become that person who will be able to walk not just in Charlie's footsteps, but in your Master's footsteps, our Lord Jesus the Messiah.
But don't you know, just this whole thing, it seems crazy.
People believe all kinds of things.
Bigfoot is watching you. The moon landing was faked. The earth is flat.
Believing things that are not true is common in our day, but it gets more bizarre every day.
So I took the initiative in creating the internet.
We have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal by definition.
We here on The Truth Barista don't think crazy. Even though we live in a crazy world, we dispel the crazy by telling the truth. Thanks for joining us for The Truth Barista.
This is The Truth Barista, honest conversations that define the truth for everyday life.
The Truth Barista is a listener-supported ministry that depends on the gifts of listeners like you. Please consider a gift to this Christ-honoring ministry today. Go to highbeamministry.com. That is highbeamministry.com. While you're on the website, check out all the ministry resources that are available. The blog, the Cruisin' Through the Bible commentary series, online classes, and don't forget to subscribe. We want to keep you informed about all the new series that we create for radio and the podcasts. Remember, we like feedback, so send us an email at highbeamministry.com. The Truth Barista, teaching God's Word as truth for faith and practice. Join us again next week for a cup of God's truth on The Truth Barista.